Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
So believe it or not, we are now 2 weeks away from the NFL Draft. 2 weeks from today, the NFL Draft begins. And speaking of the draft, if you go to WFAN.com/draft, you can place your vote on the greatest New York draft picks of the last 50 years, because your vote counts and who you suggest counts, because starting on Monday at 4 o'clock every single day, we will start to reveal the Evan and Tiki top 20, brought to you by HL Gross Jewelers of Garden City. And from my understanding, your voice counts. It's kind of like the All-Star game. Your voice counts. Plus there's a panel of special dignitaries who voice counts, and they will be putting together the list of the greatest draft picks over the last 50 years. Now, coming up in 2 weeks, will somebody many years from now join that list? Only time will tell. But I think the big debate amongst Giant fans right now is what to do at the most important position on the field, quarterback. We know Daniel Jones is signed this season with a very, 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 very high cap number. I think the third or fourth highest cap number in the NFL. We know that they added Drew Lock, and we know that Tommy DeVito still exists. We also know that the New York Giants select sixth in this draft, and we know that there are four quarterbacks projected to go at least in the top six or seven. Mm-hmm. This is what we know. And there are many Giant fans who say, trade up and get Drake May, trade up and get J.J. McCarthy, trade up and get Jaden Daniels.
I'm
just laying this all out here.
Stop. Go ahead. Keep going.
So that's some Giant fans who want that. There are some Giant fans who say, you know what? I'm sticking at six. If a quarterback drops to me, I'm good to go. There are some Giant fans who say, I'm not taking a quarterback in the first round. I'm going to take one in the second round. Then there are Giant fans who say, I'm not going to take any quarterback. I can look ahead to free agency next year. Jared Goff's available. Dak Prescott's available. And then there are some who say, Daniel Jones is my guy. Tiki Barber, the voice of the Giant fan slash analyst. There's nobody that mixes the two quite like you. We are 2 weeks out. Your plan to address or not address quarterback is what,
sir? I am not addressing the quarterback in the first round. I think I've intimated that for a while now, and I'm not going to change just because we're getting heightened emotions about the draft, which is just a few, two short weeks away. So I'm excited for the draft because I think the Giants can do some really interesting things. Now, there's a couple of guys who everybody is focused on. Caleb Williams is not going to be there.
Throw him away. I agree with you. Yes.
He's gone in the top one or two, right? And so number two, only reason I'm saying one or two is someone could jump up and try to take Drake May. I think the second quarterback that's going to be gone is Drake May. And the reason I say that is because we forget that when you look at Jaden Daniels and when you look at J.J. McCarthy, their rises to being top 10 draft picks in the NFL draft are kind of meteoric. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were you look at last year's projections before last season or even at the early part of last season, Jaden Daniels was like the seventh quarterback or the eighth quarterback. I mean, Bo Nix was ahead of him. Quinn Ewers was ahead of him. Now, Quinn missed some times down to Texas. There were guys that were listed above Jaden Daniels. Now, he had a fantastic senior season. And you ask, well, wow, you got to give him some credit for his fantastic season, senior season. But you also have to, you know, qualify it with Malik Nabers, who is one of the top wide receivers in this draft, was an LSU wide receiver. Oh, and Brian Thomas Jr., who's also one of the top five receivers in this draft, he was an LSU Tiger. So he had great talent around him. And if you watched him at all, like, they didn't have a great season LSU, but he was very creative because he just scrambled around, make some big plays, backyard football type, and it made him look really good. It's why he won the Heisman, his running ability, as well as his arm. And so there's been a lot of reports about, well, the Giants are down at LSU at the pro day, right? They're looking at Jaden Daniels. Maybe they were looking at Malik Nabers. Maybe they were looking at Brian Thompson, Thomas Jr. The same thing can be said about Michael Penix. Well, the Giants are going to take Michael Penix in the second round. They might push back up into the first round and get him at the end. They spent a lot of time evaluating Michael Penix. Well, maybe they were evaluating Rome Odunze as well. So, like, all of the smoke and mirrors that are out there, I think, are intentional by Joe Shane and this Giants team to make everybody think that they're taking a quarterback. What they're doing, at least this is my interpretation here, is they're riding with Daniel Jones. Now, they may draft a quarterback later, like one of these guys in the third or fourth round, just to create competition, but no one who is going to threaten Daniel Jones for the starting job. They need to figure out who Daniel Jones is. And if it doesn't work out and they stink because of Daniel Jones, guess what? He'll go to the bench. And they'll give Tommy DeVito some run, or they'll give Drew Lock some run, and they'll put themselves in position to draft the guy next year.
That's what you want them to do, though?
Well, because I can't imagine. So the J.J. McCarthy thing, I'm tired of hearing it. Stop with the J.J. McCarthy thing. I'm tired. His film doesn't say he's a first-round quarterback. His film doesn't say, I need to get rid of all my assets and go draft this guy. Because a lot of what he does doesn't translate. The scheme that he ran at Michigan, and maybe this is just an indictment on the scheme and not necessarily on him, but it didn't highlight the things that you need to do, second, third-level reads and multiple combo routes that you have to get correct. He didn't do any of that stuff. They were run-based. And he thrived in it because he was good at asking what Jim Harbaugh wanted him to do. So the J.J. McCarthy thing, to me, is a smokescreen, right? He's getting inflated because Jim Harbaugh won't stop talking about him. And now, all of a sudden, he's a top-four quarterback? I don't buy it. Production has to matter.
So no J.J. McCarthy.
Projectability is interesting, but production has to matter.
Yes.
So I don't think J.J. McCarthy... I could see him falling. Like, he could be that quarterback that just sits there and it's like, man, he's just J.J. McCarthy.
If he's at six,
It's not happening.
You don't want him.
I don't want him. Okay. It's not happening.
I'm just asking.
Jaden Daniels, he could be also in this situation.
You don't want him either.
He hasn't proven it over multiple seasons.
So you don't want any quarterback in the first round?
I do. Drake May, but you're not getting him.
Gotcha.
Right? Caleb Williams, maybe. Guess what? You're not getting him.
Would you put a package together to try to blow away?
It's not worth it. The Giants still have too much work depth-wise to do.
But it is worth it if you think he's that good. If you believe in him and he's a franchise quarterback, it's all worth it. Do you agree with that?
I mean, possibly. Possibly.
You get a franchise quarterback, it's worth it, man.
That is the, break in case of opportunity.
Yeah.
That's the play on Drake May. Caleb has gone at one. But Drake May, that's the break in case of opportunity play.
So the Tiki plan is no J.J. McCarthy, not interested.
Not interested.
No Jaden Daniels, not interested.
Not interested. Because I need someone who is definitively better than Daniel Jones.
Right.
And the two that are sitting there in J.J. McCarthy and Jaden Daniels, to me, don't qualify for that.
But Drake May gets you a little excited.
He's big. He's athletic. He's competitive.
He's got Josh Allen tendencies.
He looks like Josh Allen, according to Evan Roberts. Right? He has all of those tools that you would want. And he was in a little bit more of a pro-style offense, at least what translates in the NFL. Right, it's all wide, four wide receivers. You get the matchups regardless of what the coverages are. And so Drake May, yes, but I don't think he's going to be available.
I don't think so either. Would you trade three number ones for him? Because that's probably going to be the cost to jump. He's not just taking it too, and then you don't have any opportunity.
No, because that it puts you in a bind if Daniel Jones has a good season. It puts you in a real bind.
I don't think that puts you in a bind.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Well, the only way you do that, Evan, and I'm not saying you do, but the only way you do that is if you're like, damn the draft, like the Rams did. Mm-hmm. Like, forget the draft. It doesn't matter. I don't need these guys. I'm not going to – I'd rather fill my roster – with free agents and try to win a Super Bowl because we're taking a shot now. We're going to do it with a young quarterback. So we save on that spend, right? That big spend on the quarterback. We save. So we're going to give away our draft picks. We're going to fill with free agency. Get this young kid, Dave. You got to get him up to speed quickly, and we got to win within 3 years, right? If that's your plan, then yeah, you trade your first round picks in future drafts. No, but I don't necessarily love that.
But here's the plan I'm getting from you, and I'll tell you what I like about it and what scares me. What I like about it is you're not using valuable assets to draft a young quarterback. Mm-hmm. You're continuing to build that ass, like you said.
Right.
And you're giving Daniel Jones an opportunity of, hey, offensive line's healthy this year. Andrew Thomas doesn't miss a bunch of weeks. The line in general is a lot better. And all those excuses that we have made for some of Daniel Jones' struggles,
yep,
they don't pop up. Because, A, the Giants are just a better team. And then, two, by the luck of God, Daniel Jones is healthy, which nobody can guarantee.
Nope.
But let's say that stuff doesn't happen. And I'd argue it's likelier than not that that stuff doesn't happen. That, unfortunately, Daniel Jones gets hurt. That, unfortunately, things aren't perfect. And this whole we need to see what Daniel Jones thing exists. And then we know what Daniel Jones is.
If Daniel Jones gets hurt, then his career is done in
but
New York.
Aren't we already there? He's already gotten hurt enough to say, I can't trust that he's going to stay healthy.
I mean,
like, there are certain times with athletes where you made the decision, like, Ben Simmons is done here. He's never healthy.
Hold on,
I'm not trusting it.
I can't compare Ben Simmons and Daniel Jones.
You're right. I apologize. Can I retract that?
Yes, please do. Because Ben Simmons does not want to play basketball.
I'm sorry.
Daniel Jones wants to be a great football player.
You're right.
Injuries have just hampered him.
I want to apologize. I should not have used that as a comparison. Sometimes my comparisons cross sports work, and sometimes they are deeply unfair. I guess what I was trying to say with that is not that they're the same, they're not. But that sometimes you've already made the decision on the health. And to me, and Ralph Alciano wrote about this on Fox the other day, the reason, according to him and his sources, that the Giants have soured on Daniel Jones is because of health.
Yeah, it's just he's not available.
And that's, to me, like my opinion on sports talk radio or just as an independent football observer, is not that Daniel Jones can't play. It's not that Daniel Jones stinks. It's not that. It has never been that.
Mm-hmm.
It's that I can't trust him to stay healthy. So here's my issue, if you will, with the Tiki plan.
Yep.
If I'm not finding his replacement now, when am I getting that replacement? Because next year, I may pick a lot later in the draft. I hope I'm picking later because I'm good. And then B, at least as of now, I know things are fluid and they can change. It's not widely considered to be a deep quarterback draft.
Yeah.
And if we're always finding the pimples on the quarterback prospects, then what are you doing next year? Now, is your answer free agency? Because if I bring up the name Dak Prescott, it looks like you'll want to barf. So What's the plan, Tiki, to replace Jones?
I will evaluate, talking about now 2025, not 2024.
Because you don't want to get one now.
In 2025, that's what we're talking about. I will evaluate the Dak Prescott situation then.
Here we go!
It's not interesting.
No, I only bring him up because...
I know why you're bringing it up. I get it. I understand it. And if Daniel Jones is not your guy because of whatever reason, injuries or ineffectiveness, and you have to move on, you cross that bridge when you get to it. It's not what you can be focused on right now if you're the New York Giants and you need a successful season, right? Dave's and Shane, they need a successful season. I'm not saying they got to go win a championship or get to the NFC championship game, but they need a successful season. So they have to focus on the here and now. What makes this team better and competitive to catch the Eagles and the Cowboys right now? To me, the easiest way to do that is to have Daniel Jones upright, healthy, and put some assets around him, as well as asses. Now, they've already done the asses part with the free agency of the offensive line, but if you have Jalen Hyatt and Wandell Robinson and Darius Slayton, who's still there, and then you draft the Malik Nabers or Aroma Dunze in the first round, and you have now this big, explosive wide receiver to add to the mix, like, all of a sudden it feels a little bit more, like, real. Mm-hmm. It feels more believable and trustworthy. And look, I like Daniel Jones's mind. I like his athleticism. I like his arm. I like all those things. The only thing is he can't stay healthy.
It's a big thing.
Now, we heard something a couple weeks ago from John Mara, and he's basically talking about the quarterbacks and said, you know, I'd be okay if they drafted a quarterback, Dabes and Joe Shane, if they fall in love with him. Mm-hmm. What I started with and what I'm now circling back to is that there's no way you're in love with Jaden Daniels. There's no way you're in love with J.J. McCarthy because they haven't shown you in their college tape. Maybe the interview was great, or maybe who knows what it was. I don't know. I wasn't in it. But maybe they've shown you little things, but there's not enough to say, I love this kid.
Do you think
this guy is going to be the next Pro Bowl, all-pro quarterback in the NFC?
Do you think they're in love with Daniel Jones?
I think they...
You like that question. I tripped you up with that one.
You know, like when you've been married for a while.
Yes.
And
yes.
You're like, oh, do you still love her? You're like, yeah, I do. I love her. You know, we're married. That's what it is.
I would never give that answer, by the way. Oh, my God.
I'm not saying you or me or Sean or Lugie. I'm just saying some people are like, yeah, we're just married because we're married.
Yeah, I think that's
what it is.
That is a fair comparison. I think it was almost like Daniel Jones is in our bed, and we're having a good time with him. Like, we're having a really good time. Let's put a temporary ring on that finger. Because that's kind of what the Giants
that's
did.
Exactly what they did.
Look, tell me if I'm getting this right, because I want to interpret, especially for our audience, the Tiki plan. And the Tiki plan of quarterback is this. If I could get May, I'm in. I'm good to go. Mm-hmm. I'll even consider trading up. I'm just not going to move heaven and earth. So Drake May's available. I'm intrigued. No to J.J. McCarthy. No to Jaden Daniels. May take a quarterback second or third round. We'll see.
Yep.
But my intentions are that Daniel Jones truly is my guy this year. And if things don't work out based on injury or play, I'll worry about quarterback at a later date.
Yes.
That's the plan.
Yes.
I'm pushing it to 2025, and maybe that involves Dak Prescott, maybe that involves Jared Goff, or maybe that involves drafting somebody that we're not even thinking about right now.
Yes.
That's the Tiki plan.
That is the Tiki plan.
Sean Morash, as captain of the Giant fans. What do you think of that plan?
I mean, I'm certainly intrigued and I'm interested. I don't think it's a plan out of want. I think it's a plan out of necessity because they're picking sixth overall. I think in a perfect world, they wouldn't have won those games by Tommy DeVito. But yeah, I'm fine
with
that. I
knew he was going to throw that in there.
Because it is the truth. It is the truth.
I mean, Tommy D.
We're always going to look back at those three games and go, they played their way out of Drake May. Good for the locker room, good for all of that. But it is the truth. Looking back, that is what happened.
Yeah.
But,
do you want to admit that, Tiki, as someone who is a non-tanker the way I am, that looking back on those games, maybe it would have been better off losing?
If you wanted to be in the second overall pick and get Drake May, yes. But I'm not necessarily that guy.
Okay. I think the Giants are stuck in no man's land here. But
the only way it could happen is if Jaden Daniels goes set two.
Yes.
And the New England Patriots are like, yeah, we're going to be smarter than you guys, and we're going to draft whoever. And the Arizona Cardinals don't need a quarterback. The Chargers don't need a quarterback.
Yeah, but the Vikings are going to trade up. That's why the Giants have to trade up if they get one of these guys. That's the way I'm viewing this 2 weeks out. Like, they have to. Even if what you're laying out happens where Washington surprises us, because I still think they're going Drake May, personally. If I had to do a Roberts mock.
I think so as well.
My mock would be Caleb Williams number one, Drake May number two, Jaden number three. Mm-hmm. Then I think the Vikings trade up to four and get J.J. McCarthy. I think we're getting four quarterbacks, boom, 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 and I think the Chargers are taking Marvin Harrison Jr. There's your Evan Roberts mock draft. Not even saying it's that original. And I'm just telling you that's where I think it's laying out, which means if it lays out that way, the only way you get a quarterback, your choice, is to trade up.
Man, but Malik Nabers sitting right there at six, that sounds just, thank you. Thank you. And come to mama.
And the reason the Giants are in this situation is because Dave Gettleman took Daniel Jones at sixth overall instead of playing the board and taking Josh Allen, who just signed with the Jaguars. And what the Giants cannot do above anything else is make that same mistake.
That's the edge rusher, by the way, not the quarterback.
Not the quarterback. They can't make the same mistake in just swinging for a quarterback because Daniel Jones is injury prone and or maybe stinks.
I agree.
You have to walk away with a big-time player.
I agree.
Right, let's get to some of your calls on this. Reacting to the Tiki plan, Sean's going to also apologize to the audience in 15 minutes. A lot of baseball to get to with the Yankees losing the finale to the Miami Marlins and getting an off day. And, of course, the Mets, as of right now, kicking the Atlanta Braves ass. Mm. Let's go to Chris in Tinton Falls. Hey, Chris.
What up, Chris?
What do you say, gentlemen? Good to hear from you.
What's up?
Yeah, Tiki, you and I, buddy, are in lockstep on this one. Couple of things, if I can. One, you know, there was a little-known quarterback the Giants took in 1979. I'm going back a ways. He was injury-plagued for the first 5 years.
Right.
Everyone wanted to dump him. Well, 84 comes around, 4,000 yards. Next thing you know, he's the Giants quarterback and one of their greats. Sometimes guys get stronger. They get better. They get a better offensive line, so they're not getting the crap kicked out of them. And then they have tools. I think reaching on a quarterback, getting rid of, trading. Look, I don't even like the Brian Burns move, and we can go on into that. I think they could have gotten Bryce Huff, got a lesser player but still good, kept the second rounder, but whatever.
Yeah, interesting.
And still, I don't know why $30 million is worth 10 sacks, $12 million is not worth 10 touchdowns, but we'll leave that. But I question Shane's logic there. But getting Malik Nabers, big-time wideout, they need receivers, they need tools. And if you ever end up getting a quarterback in 2 years, guess what? The infrastructure's there now
for that
contract where you have all the tools accessible.
Well, yeah, you're right.
Don't reach.
That's right. You put a quarterback in a position with a successful offensive line, successful skill position players around him, and it's not all on him to make everything work as a rookie quarterback.
Yeah,
talking about in 2 years.
I think what you're setting up without saying it, because you're not saying it, but what you're setting up is that you want to build a really good roster, which I respect. I get it. Like, Malik Nabers just sitting there free at six is pretty cool. You're setting up a situation in which you pluck a quarterback in free agency next year.
Yeah.
And put him on this roster and say, we're good to go.
Yep.
And whether that's Dak Prescott or Jared Goff or maybe somebody we're not even thinking of in this moment, because sometimes with quarterbacks, you never know who's going to become available. I think what your guys are suggesting is continue to build a team and kick the can down the road.
Yeah.
Because the truth is, you know, Daniel Jones next year is not in this conversation.
No, you're right. And here's the other thing. Like, people, I think too many people are fixated on the job security of the team, like of Dabes and Shane. Like, they're not getting fired. I don't care what happens, unless it's an utter and complete disaster and things behind the scenes are on fire. They're going to be here, right? And so you have to give them time to build this thing the way that they want to build it. And we knew it was a 2-3 year plan. Maybe it's a 4 year plan, but you got to just trust it. We've been through too many as Giant fans, too many, well, let's iterate this thing again. Just flip it around. Let's turn it around. Get rid of this guy. He wasn't the guy. Let's just turn it around. You got to stop the cycle.
No, listen, instability is it's a disease.
Right.
I mean, the Jets have had it for many, many years. You want some form of stability. And since Tom Coughlin left, this franchise has been the definition of unstable. Jason's in Bayshore. Hey, Jason.
Totalmente.
What's up?
What's happening?
Sorry, man. So I watched Drew Lock play for Seattle last year when he replaced Geno.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he was impressive when he has good receivers. And I'm fine with watching him play over another Eli imposter, like an Eli who can run or an Eli who can read defenses.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Jason, I, you know, look, so I agree with you.
Malik because, Neighbors all the way, baby.
Right. We had a Seattle game late, so I had to look at watch his game tape. And you're right. He can play, and he's big. He's strong, right? He's
got what are you guys doing?
He's got all those things. But the challenge with Drew Lock, and this is what would frustrate Giant fans,
yeah,
is he makes a lot of bad decisions.
Well, he's not a starting quarterback
right.
in the NFL.
He makes a lot of bad decisions.
Yeah, that's why he's not a starting quarterback in the NFL. So to our last caller, I'm not accusing you of this. I'm not accusing Tiki Barber of this. Happily married man. But our last caller is just enamored by Drew Locke's girlfriend. That's all it is.
The great Natalie Locke.
Here's the thing. By the way, they married? I should say wife if they're married.
They are, but she did not take his last name.
Okay.
Kind of like my wife.
That's fine. I wasn't even judging the last name. Just that's the problem. He's enamored by Drew Locke's wife. Drew Locke is not a starting quarterback NFL.
How do you know he doesn't become Rich Gannon on the Raiders Kerry Collins on the Giants?
Sean.
Or Geno Smith on the Seahawks?
Sean. You're doing something I've done a lot in my life, and I respect it. You're doing something that Joe Beningo would do, and I used to love it. Lugie and I would joke around and quote Joe. You never know. Maybe we got something with this guy.
Maybe Geno Smith could be something here.
The name I always think of is this little-known outfielder that no one is going to remember. Jason Prity. Does anybody remember this guy? Huh. He was like, Tiki, there's no way, nor should you. I don't think anybody at this radio station remembers him. So he was like this fifth outfielder who had a couple of good weeks for the Mets. And sitting there doing the show with Joe, midday show, and he said, you know, and I was so down on the Mets. Like, they stink. Come on, they're overachieving. They're not any good. Sometimes I'm negative, believe it or not. And Joe's like, but bro, maybe we got something with this guy. And that's like the new adage.
Yeah.
Like, someone has a good week or a good day. It's like, hey, maybe we have something with this guy. And Sean's right. Like, there are rare examples throughout NFL history and sports history where that's true. Maybe you have something with this guy. But don't do this right now with Drew Lock. Because you know they don't have something with this guy. Tiki, you called one of his games.
Yeah.
He's got a very attractive wife. Good for him. They don't have something with this guy.
I don't assume they do. All I am saying
is... Just making sure.
All I'm saying is if Jones got hurt or stunk and he came in, I just trust Brian Daboll coaching up quarterbacks that maybe, just maybe, Drew Lock molds with Brian Daboll and you find the unbelievable perfect marriage.
This is actually my fear of the Tiki plan. If you kick the can down the road on quarterback, and I also understand...
But you're not necessarily kicking the can down the road because I...
Of course
like,
you are.
What you're missing is that I actually believe that Daniel Jones can be a good quarterback in the NFL.
I believe he can be a good quarterback in the NFL, too. We agree on that. Where do we disagree?
I'm not kicking the can down the road. I'm having faith. And you know what faith is? Believing in something you can't see. I have faith that he's going to be healthy. And if he's not,
then
we cross that bridge.
Okay, that's the issue. That's our disconnect. Like, I'm not having an argument because we happen to agree that Daniel Jones can't play the position. Okay, I think Daniel Jones is a good quarterback. The problem is, I don't believe he's going to stay healthy. And I don't do that based on a whim. I do that based on history.
Yeah.
So my biggest fear of the Tiki plan, and I'm sorry, I know you don't like the phrasing of this, kicking the can down the road.
It's based on hope.
It is based on hope.
And that hope is simply Daniel Jones being healthy.
Yeah, and I think that's a tough kind of hill to believe in. But my biggest fear of the Tiki plan is, since you're not addressing the quarterback of the future, you're going into this season with Daniel as your QB1, Drew Lock as your QB2, and Domi DeVito's, you know, your fun, let's hang out, third string quarterback. And now Daniel gets hurt a week into the season. And now we are sitting here watching Drew Lock quarterback every week. And here's what I fear, because I know this from experience, Tiki. I've lived this life. Yeah, your defense is a lot better. And it's great, man. That Brian Burns deal, that was a great deal. Kayvon's taking another step. I love your secondary. Man, your defense is awesome. And, man, you got a lot of talent at wide receiver. And you got a really good running back. And guess what? Your quarterback sucks. Hi, how you doing? Do I know that song? Do you think I'm familiar with that song?
Of course you are.
If you're stuck watching Drew Lock quarterback 11 games because Daniel can't stay healthy, your plan, which is nice and reasoned today on April 11th, that's where it backfires.
Because
it's not like you're even starting somebody where you're saying, hey, maybe we have something in this guy in the future.
And by the way, I can't even argue with you.
Thank you.
I'm not even trying to. I'm just telling you that this is how I look at the Giants. And I think reaching for a quarterback is that's not going to ultimately pan out is not worth it to me.
Let's hear from you, Giant fans. 877-337-6666. We'll also hear from Sean as he apologized to the audience for something he did yesterday. And a lot of baseball coming up, especially in the 4 o'clock hour. The Mets beating the crap out of the Braves and how Anthony Volpe proved he's the leadoff hitter. And there was evidence straight in front of your face last night. Just to prove how insane I am, the New York Mets lead the Atlanta Braves 12-3 in the eighth inning. And I can't get fully excited quite yet. When they get those three outs, though, we're going to have a conversation. Because the Mets will have won 2 out of 3 against the Atlanta Braves, and the one loss was a moral victory that you mocked with your eyes and many others mocked. But we'll get to that in a few minutes. And we'll also get to Sean Morash's apology for something he said yesterday. But a couple of your calls in reaction to the Tiki plan in terms of what the Giants should do at quarterback this year and moving forward. If you missed it, by the way, rewind the Odyssey app. We began the conversation at about 2:55, so you can rewind and hear all of it. But right now, let's go to Sonny in Malvern. What's up, Sonny?
Hey, guys. Hey, Teak.
What's up?
Hey, I love the Tiki plan. You know why?
Why?
Whose plan does that sound like, Tiki? Not to pat myself on the back.
The Sonny in Malvern plan!
That's true.
Is that true, Evan? Yes or no?
It is true. In fact, it's so true. And you should feel good about this. I caught audio of me, Tiki, Sean, making predictions to either say, hey, we were right, or hey, we were wrong. I have audio in my phone of Sonny and Malvern making a very loud declaration about the Giants and the quarterback position that I was going to use for you once the draft occurs in 2 weeks, because that's how impactful your statement was. So not only is it true? I've got the audio right next to me. In fact, I have it right now. Let me see if I hear this. Hold on. Is this correct? Sorry, continue talking, Sonny, while I figure out if I have it or not.
That'd be great. And Evan, the reason why it's true and why you did say that is because the only option, it's the only thing that makes sense, like Tiki and the Sonny plan were saying, that, listen, they're going all in on Daniel Jones, right? There's no other option. They're not going to, you know, waste any capital on draft picks. They're not going to pick a quarterback that doesn't make sense like J.J. McCarthy, because the guy threw, Evan, under 3,000 yards last year. He threw for only 22 touchdowns. And you know this, and everyone knows, it's all hype by his, you know, his ex-coach. That's not going to happen.
I think problem is, I don't love J.J. McCarthy, so I'm not going to fight with you about J.J. McCarthy because we would probably agree. It's more that I don't know if I agree with going all in on a quarterback that has proven to me he can't stay healthy. Now, I understand you can't force the issue and just draft a quarterback for the sake of drafting a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I think the Giants are in a spot where if they want one of the top four guys, they got to trade up. They have to. But is it worth doing that if you've identified the guy you love, like Drake May? It is. By the way, here's Sonny and Malvern.
Mortgage up this. They're not
going to
pick a quarterback at number 6, guys.
See, there you go. I think he said I'd mortgage my house. Like, yeah, right. You know, I'll put the mortgage up. So he's very, very confident. That's for sure. Joe on Long Island. Hey, Joe.
Hey, fellas. All right. How familiar are you with the movie Draft Day with Kevin Costner?
Vaguely. I saw it once, but I don't remember much about it. I remember being like, it's okay, but it wasn't like an all-time favorite.
Why? Fill us in. What happened?
Well, so this is very, very similar to that situation. They had the quarterback in the middle of his career who was injury prone, and they didn't know if they trusted him. They had the number. I think they had the number 7 pick in the movie, whatever.
That's funny.
He trades for the number 1 pick, and the big quarterback at the top of the draft, which is kind of like the Caleb Williams character in this version, everybody says, oh, they're going to take this guy, it's going to be great. And then at the surprise in the draft, he doesn't take him. And then what happens is he starts falling down the board, and he ends up pulling off this crazy trade where he gets, like, 3 picks back plus all the guys he wanted in the first place. So Joe Shane, on draft day, makes the trade of the century. He trades up for the number 1 pick, makes everyone think he's going to take Caleb Williams, and then he goes, doesn't take him, lets him fall, and then he gets Chicago to trade back the pick to them. They end up with 2 number 1.
Losing your mind, Joe.
Oh, wow.
the more you talked about that movie, Draft Day, the more I realized I don't think I actually saw it. I said I saw it, but I think I was thinking about Moneyball for a second.
Yeah.
And I know nothing alike. They're nothing. By the way, Moneyball, completely overrated. Not a very good movie. I'm just not a fan of it. Have you seen Draft Day?
I have seen Draft Day. I watch it every year on the draft.
You watch
it? I do.
Watch it every year.
Why?
I don't know. It gets me juiced up.
It's like a Christmas movie.
It's the perfect. You're right. It is. Like, I watch Christmas Vacation multiple times. I don't know. It's perfectly cornily good, if that makes sense. Like, it's not a good movie,
yeah,
but it's like a good movie.
Have you seen it, Tiki?
No, I have. I'm like you. I feel like I did, but I know I didn't.
Yeah, the more he talked about it, the more I realized I haven't seen it. But I think I want to see it now, especially before the draft. Now, you watching it every year is kind of weird, but it sounds awful. It sounds stupid. It sounds completely unrealistic.
Oh, but totally unrealistic.
I think I may watch. What is it on? Is it on Hulu? Do we know where we can access it?
I always rent it on Prime, but it might be available on one of these streaming services
you
now.
You rent it? Well, you have to pay to rent it on Amazon Prime?
It's like $2.99, or had been the last couple of years.
But why is that worth it? It's a bad movie.
I don't know, Tiki. I mean, I've watched Giant Years every Sunday. That was bad football.
That's a good point. Now, speaking to Sean yesterday, he said something on the radio that after further reflection and an angry tweet that I read and responded to, there were many angry tweets about this, but I gave it more thought, especially on the train, especially being with Sean this morning, that he should apologize for this.
And I made a lot of mistakes in life.
No, I know you have. And what he said yesterday was over the line. If you missed it, and we'll give you the full context so you as audience members can decide if this is something Sean should apologize for. And Tiki as well. And Loogie as well. It's Sean Morash on trial, ladies and gentlemen. Here it is, the full context of a conversation Sean had yesterday with a caller to our show. Let's go to Shane calling from Merrick. How are you, Shane?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up,
just,
dude?
Really quickly, I wanted to point out the irony of Morash calling anyone a bitch when his voice is in the same octave as Pee Wee Herman. Okay? That's number one. Okay, I'll hang up and listen. Thanks,
thank
guys.
You very much, Shane.
I just want to remind Shane his mom loves my voice.
Wow. Oh. You're going there?
Stop it right there. I still laugh at it.
Talking about a caller's mom? Like that? Come on. I respect anybody who takes time out of their day to call us up. And I understand sometimes we argue and we yell at each other and you accuse hosts of hanging up on you. I hope everyone understands it's just fun. It's just sports.
It's just his ass.
We're all having a good time. That was not having a good time. You talked about the dude's mom. So, Tiki, do you agree that he should apologize for that?
What do you, I mean, talked about her or just like mentioned her?
I mean, imply that he has lovemaking with her.
No,
that's
he didn't.
What he did.
He said she just likes his voice.
Yeah. Well,
I just want to remind Shane his mom loves my voice.
I mean, listen to his voice, how he said that.
Loves his voice.
It's just his ass.
Maybe she loves sports talk radio.
So you don't think that he crossed the line with that?
It's borderline.
Borderline? Loogie, do you think he crossed the line with that?
Did he cross the line? Yes. Does he need to apologize for it? No. Because Shane, and I like Shane, he fired the first salvo. So Sean responded.
Well, hold on. Let's analyze what Shane said. That's why the context matters. What was the first salvo that was so bad?
I mean, I'm putting words in his mouth, but he basically said...
Play it one more time.
Okay, all right.
Let's analyze what Shane said, and if it warranted Morash talking about his mom.
Let's go to Shane calling from Merrick. How are you, Shane?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up,
dude? Really quickly, I wanted to point out the irony of Morash calling anyone a bitch when his voice is in the same octave as Pee Wee Herman.
Stop right there.
I mean, it was the Pee Wee Herman, like...
What did he say about Pee Wee Herman? He said his voice is high like Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, but...
He didn't say he goes to movie theaters like Pee Wee Herman.
No. Pee Wee Herman's also dead, so he said, I have a voice of a dead person.
Oh, come on now. That's ridiculous.
My voice is annoying.
Out of that? Come on.
It's almost wishing death.
All he did was make fun of the octave of your voice, and he compared it to Pee Wee Herman.
My voice is annoying.
All he said was his mother likes the sound of his voice.
Awesome. You really defending him for this?
I'm being very literal. Very literal.
What happened to WFAN?
Spike Eskin.
Well, he's gone, thankfully. I mean, that's you implied something horrible with a caller's mom, dude. Like, that's nothing like just screaming at them about a sports opinion.
I will no longer be commenting on this with you back and forth. I have a prepared statement. Either you want to hear it or you don't.
All right, give us your prepared statement.
And it will not be interrupted.
Can I just say one quick thing before you give that to Evan here?
Sure. Yeah,
I do have some other audio from a previous show here that I'd like to...
Damn right I'm banging my friend's mom!
Go ahead.
That was not to a caller.
No, but to your friend's mom that you're hitting. You had no problem saying that on the radio.
Hold on, you didn't supply the context of that.
Oh, no, I got the full clip here. Hold on.
Damn right I'm banging my friend's mom!
Better?
wasn't the full context. I was, you know why I said that, Tiki?
Why?
I was defending Zach Wilson, believe it or not. I know that sounds crazy.
Oh,
yeah.
So you were speaking in the voice of Zach Wilson.
I was saying that Zach, I literally thought that Zach Wilson screwing around with his friend's mom, or his mom's friend, I think is the truth there.
Yes.
Was badass. And I thought that that was going to lead him to having more respect in the locker room. And we were going to see this renaissance from Zach Wilson.
It wasn't even, wasn't it a quasi friend? It was like a girl who was in her spin class or something.
It was just
a
cougar. I'm banging my friend's mom.
I think it was a much younger woman who was taking a spin class.
So then it's really nothing.
We wanted it to be a cougar, exactly. But I think she was young.
I think you're right, Tommy.
But my only point is, I said that in terms of defending Zach Wilson. So I didn't insult the caller by implying something about their mom. So to put that in the same breath is crazy. Anyhow, we got off track. Your statement, please.
Okay. Yesterday, in response to an uncalled-for comparison between my voice and that of Pee Wee Herman's, I responded by telling a caller named Shane that his mother likes my voice. I was personally offended on social media when I saw such wild assumptions made by some who just figured I did not know Shane's mother. That was hurtful to me and would be hurtful to anybody for assuming they know anything about my inner circle. With that being said, I'd like to send a sincere apology to Shane or anybody who pretended to be offended by my comments simply because they either hate my voice or hate the fact that I don't root and wave the pom-poms for the teams they root for. I can emphatically say that I am sorry for that. Going forward, I will keep the thoughts I have of people possibly in my inner circle to myself. Shane, we will move on stronger from this moment. Thank you. I love you all. And as always, thanks for listening to the show.
That's not an apology in any way.
I said sorry, and I said emphatically.
Who prepared that? Your lawyer?
Me. And Gallo.
Very nice. Nice. All right, I tried. I guess I don't have that much power around here.
That was a sorry. All right. Got it.
Let's go to Artie in Brooklyn. What's up, Artie?
Hey, guys. You know, Tiki's plan, I think, is all in the eye of the beholder. He said it himself. If it was May, he would have minded. So he obviously doesn't feel like the other two quarterbacks are that much of a difference.
Right.
It's not the plan of getting a quarterback. It's the quarterback himself. He doesn't like the other two.
No. I totally get that. I think the issue you run into, because you don't want to force yourself to draft someone just because they're a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Like, I agree with you, Artie, and I agree with Tiki's overall point. I think we do it way too much, no doubt about it. I think it's then, okay, if we all mostly realize that they need to find the replacement for Jones because of his inability to stay healthy, how and where are you doing that? And that's the thing that's so concerning. Like, when are you doing it? How are you doing it?
Or you might not have to do it because Daniel Jones has a resurgent season. He stays healthy and looks strong, and they're amazing. Right? That's the best case. Now, you obviously have to have a plan B should that not plan out, and that plan B likely is in 2025. But, I mean, I think you just have to kind of believe that Daniel Jones is going to be good.
I'm going to give you a cynical response to why that scenario you laid out is not the best case scenario.
Why?
If he goes out next year and he's healthy,
mm-hmm,
and he plays and they're good, not good enough to win a Super Bowl, because obviously they win a Super Bowl, all bets are off, and obviously everything's worth it. It's a perfect scenario. But he's good, he's healthy, it is what it is. Okay, that's going to make you believe that he's going to remain healthy the following year when you're probably better off moving on from him anyway.
I mean,
does that make sense?
No, because if he has a almost all pro season, you're going to move on from him, right? You're going to say it's over. We liked you. You proved it again and again. This is my big issue with Daniel Jones. Every year he's been here, it's been a prove it year. At least it felt like a prove it year every single year. It's another one. So if he proves it and does it, now we're just going to not reward him?
No, I think you have to see the forest through the trees and realize that that's probably an illusion. That is probably not, by the way.
Only because of health.
I don't know if you can hear it in my voice. The glee in my voice right now is so high.
You finally are believing the Mets are going to win this game.
The New York Mets are not only winning a game against the Atlanta Braves. It'll be official in the next 15 minutes. Don't worry about it.
I don't know. Maybe take a half hour to get through this.
May take a while. But the New York Mets right now, in a completely legal way, because it's all legal, are physically assaulting the Atlanta Braves.
That's because Luis Guillorme is on the mound for the Braves.
Okay, when Luis came in, it was 12-4, all right? So the Braves gave up.
Okay, they hit a grand slam off of them.
The Braves tapped out in a baseball game against the New York Mets. They gave up.
They said, you know what? We're
getting our ass kicked. It's over. You know what? Let's tap out and throw Luis Guillorme out of the bullpen like the Mets have had to do many times. How many times have the Mets gotten their ass kicked by the Braves and had to tap out? So the Mets are now just assaulting the Atlanta Braves. Tyrone Taylor at a grand slam for good measure. It's 16-4, and it's still not enough. Like, if they want to win 19-4, keep going. If they want to win 26-4, keep going. It's never enough against the Southern Bastards down in Atlanta, Georgia. And here's the other thing. This is for you. This is for you. And this is for the Met fans out there that still don't want to believe. By the way, Lindor can't even get a hit off Luis Guillorme. He batted right-handed and he grounded out. He actually saw about right-handed against this righty and he broke his bat. So Lindor's slumping. It's okay. They scored 16 runs. But this is for all the Met fans out there. A few days ago when they came back and beat the Atlanta Braves, and I proclaimed to you, dude, that was one of the most shocking victories they've had in a long time. Mm-hmm. This is the win that can turn their season around. A lot of you guys said, they still stink. Then they get a moral victory against the Braves when they're down 6-0. And to a T, moral victories, they don't count. I brought it up passingly to you. You rolled your eyes. Mm-hmm. Giannotti, who I love, openly mocked it. What's happening now? The Atlanta Braves just got so embarrassed in their own building, they tapped out like they're Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania against Kurt Angle. They just kept tapping. They said, we're done. And the Mets are going to win a series against the Braves. And now...
They are going to win the
series.
Yeah,
2 out of 3 because of the rain out. And now you feel a little bit differently about this team in this season. Just a tiny bit, right? Mm. You feel a little different, Teak?
Yeah.
A little different?
Yeah.
You feel a little different, Luke?
Sure do. This team has stones, dude. And they stuck it to him in Atlanta where they never do that.
In Atlanta.
Ever.
And now, dating back to when I rudely, and I apologize, interrupted Loogie's Luge Hour.
Oh, made for great radio. You don't have to apologize.
Okay, good. I was so excited when Pete Alonso hit that game-tying home run. How about the stones on him? I was so excited when Tyrone Taylor got the game-winning hit. Since that moment, the New York Mets are 1-0, 2-0, 2-1, 3-1, 4-1, 5-2. Here we go.
Pete Alonso saved the season with that home run.
Mm. Pete Alonso saved the season with the home run. And you know what inspired Pete Alonso to hit that home run?
Your beard?
A long-ass, disgusting beard. We're back. So, Sean, 5-7 once they get these last three outs. Will the Mets see 500 again?
No.
Let's go, Mets!
You still standing by this?
Look, I'm clearly nervous. This is a great, great win today and
a great series.
No doubt about it.
Thank you.
But I made a statement. I still have 2 games of wiggle room. How do I can't bail now.
No, you can give your honest opinion.
My honest opinion is I never thought that they were going to be, forget the rainout, 4-2 in these 6 games versus the Reds of Britain. Never thought. Part of my opinion was they're going to be buzzsawed on the road. And what the Mets have done is put on their boots, pick their asses up, and they've had a damn good 2 series.
You know what happened? And we'll get to your calls because there's a lot of people that want to react to the Morash apology and more on the Giants and whatnot. Here's what I find fascinating to me. When the Mets started 0-4, not even 0-5 because that occurred in the midst of our show, but when they started 0-4, one of the arguments used against me for why this matters, why it's not just 4 games, is that it was a continuation of last year. That was the talking point I heard a lot from some Met fans who just hate themselves and non-Met fans. Well, it's a continuation.
Yeah, but I didn't think everybody necessarily believed that because it's a different makeup of a team.
No, but by the way, I agree with you, but you understand that that was kind of the argument made?
Yeah, but that's a lazy look at, because you can't bring season across the off season because so many things changed.
I'm with you. Well, now the Mets have gone out to Cincinnati and Atlanta and won 4 out of 6 games. And they've shown you something they haven't really shown you in a while. Balls. Stones, balls, however you want to phrase it. And that is far different than the crap about, well, it's the same Mets. They just lost 4 games in a row. They're lifeless. They don't care. They got no guts. They showed guts because the way they won these games were gutty. The way they won on Sunday after losing the way they lost on Saturday to Cincinnati, gutty. The way they started this whole run with that win in the doubleheader down 1-0 and there being no hit, gutty. The way they won the first game against the Atlanta Braves, gutty, down 4-0, everybody burying them. The way they came back down 6-0 and came close, very close, to coming back and pulling off another miracle victory, gutty. And after that Fugazi rainout last night, today in Atlanta, whipping that Georgia ass, whipping that Georgia ass, gutty. So the talking point over the first four games of they're gutless, they're the same, this team stinks, let's just put that away for now. Just put it away for now. I'm not proclaiming they're winning the World Series or anything, but let's put away that dopey crap from the first four games of the season because they just went down to Georgia and they whipped that Southern redneck ass all over the place.
And the Braves are afraid to play us. Like you said, that Fugazi rain out. There was no rain. They don't want to play us. They want to kick the can to September because they hope the Mets don't care by then. Well, they will.
That's Tommy Lugauer talking?
Uh-huh.
I didn't say that part.
My voice is annoying.
Very good. Let's go to Joe in Milford, Connecticut. How are you, Joe?
Hey, how are you guys?
What's up, Josh?
Good.
All right, Joe.
Hey, listen, there should have been no apology. Morash had no reason to apologize.
Really?
You get a punk caller on the phone making a wisecrack. He answered back with a wisecrack, and he should have doubled down, actually. He should have said, not only does his mom like his voice, they're going to dinner and a movie, and he's making her pay the next day.
Wow. Look at that. Jeez, I was just trying to be nice. Like,
I think that's harsh. That's caller on caller crime right there.
Yeah, I was just saying, hey, I think we need to be more respectful of our callers here at WFAN. You know, sometimes you get a little too loose, get a little too crazy. And I got Joe and Milford basically saying, you know, Sean didn't go hard enough.
Joe had my back. I almost feel like he needs to apologize.
He don't have to apologize for anything. Pat's on Long Island. What's up, Pat?
What up, Pat?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Listen, that guy took a jab at Morash, and he knocked him out with a comeback. You've had the guy's masculinity. You got to be able to accept it.
Wow. I never saw the Sean Morash face turn occurring while I was trying to reprimand him for going below the belt with a collar. Yeah, people are on his side.
Because you listen, frankly, let's just use it. You listen to one tool on Twitter who happens to be a Cowboy Met Islander fan. Do the math on why he doesn't like me. Who had the, oh, whoa, I found something to pretend to be offended by. Please, Evan, do something.
First of all, I didn't listen to one tool on Twitter. I don't even know who that guy is on Twitter.
Yeah, and he has the 9 duplicate accounts.
All I know is that I thought about it last night. Like, when I went to sleep last night after a very exciting day, what a great job by Tiki Barber coming with me to that book signing. You're a great partner, and I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And that was awesome, man, right? I had a good time. Had a very eventful night. Mets got rained out. The Nets won a great game against the Raptors. By the way, the Barclays Center rocks every freaking night for that lousy team. Makes no sense. I got home and I started being reflective of the day. Like, I'm always reflective of the day. The good, the bad. I'm very self-critical. Things I do. Things I'm annoyed about. I shouldn't have said that. You came across douchey here. I always think about that. And then I thought about you. And I was like, man, I don't really like the fact that you told a caller, basically, you were sleeping with his mom.
He didn't say that.
He said his
mom likes his voice.
Come on.
A lot of moms like my voice.
Come on now. Let's be honest.
My mom loves Sean's voice.
Not threatening.
Okay. I just want to remind Shane, his mom loves my voice.
And then when I saw the tweet, it was like confirming, hey, Sean should apologize.
I see. This is confirmation bias.
That's right. It seems like everybody.
This is what your mind was thinking. And so when you saw the tweet, it confirmed what you were thinking.
That's right.
When if you were thinking something else, it wouldn't have gone over the
same. That's right. That is correct. Let's go to Scott in Hamilton. What's up, Scott?
Evan, Sean, this one's on you and Tiki. You need to get these guys in order. But, you know, I'm offended by both of you right now. First off, Evan, for you being so soft and to actually ask Morash to apologize to a guy.
Oh, that's great.
Sean has a lovable voice. But, Sean, the fact that you went ahead and agreed to do this, come on, man. Evan, don't listen to a thing he says. He doesn't even show up for work because of a Mets home.
Well, first of all, I showed up. Uh-huh. I was a little bit late, okay? Let's be fair about that. And number two, let me defend Sean. Sean never succumbed. He gave the douchiest apology of all time. True.
The word sorry was there.
It was, but it was like in a weird, like, caveated sorry. It was a heavily caveated sorry.
I do want to say it is now official. The New York Mets defeated the Atlanta Braves 16-4. They jumped out to an early 7-0 lead.
Sal Licata got very cocky at the end of the midday show, which made me very nervous. I love you, Sal, but sometimes you're a little bit of a jinx.
The NL East is over!
Then the Braves rallied to make it 7-3, and I got really, really nervous and said, oh my God, like this guy did it again. And then the Mets broke through. Jeff McNeil had a big game offensively. Starling Marte was, I mean, basically everybody was productive, not named Francisco Lindor, is the way I would assess it. Brandon Nimmo had two hits. Marte had two hits. Pete Alonso had two hits. Brett Beatty had an early hit. Francisco Alvarez had some big hits. Jeff McNeil had two hits. And then Francisco Lindor was 1-for-6. And you know what's great about that? In all seriousness, what's great about that, and I think the Yankee fan will understand what I'm talking about despite last night, when you're winning games and your best players are not performing, I don't look at that as a negative. I look at that as a positive. Because great players or really good players usually will turn out to be what they are.
Right, with the baseball card.
It's April 11th. Like, it takes a lot for me, I'm just speaking for myself, to get nervous about performances this early in a season. So if you're Aaron Judge and you're not performing and the Yankees are winning, if I'm a Yankee fan, I got my hands together like, this is awesome. And the same thing on a day like today. Like, the Mets have turned their season around. They're 5-7. They're creeping back towards 500. They're starting to score a lot of runs. Jeff McNeil is waking up. Brandon Nimmo has certainly been waking up. Starling Marte looked perfect in that two-hole. The fact that Lindor hasn't hit doesn't cause me to panic. It causes me to say, hey, Tiki, that's badass.
Right.
The Mets are winning, and Lindor's bound to wake up at some point.
Eventually he will, even though he looks kind of lost at plate, even against Luis Guillorme.
He does. And that, you know what? Look, they're going to need him. Like, we all get that. They're going to need him. But when you're winning games, it's okay because it's April 11th. So what do you think? Lindor's going to hit 098? Do you think Aaron Judge is going to hit 177? DJ Stewart hitting 105? Yeah, it's possible. No, I'm just kidding. Mike's calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up? Listen, I love listening to you guys. Love the show. You are a roller coaster. One day the Mets are the worst team in baseball. Now they won the World Series.
Well, first of all, you should apologize because I have been actually very consistent this season. I have been loyal to, hey, they're going to be a decent team. And even during their struggles, I never abandoned ship. So I don't know if you're confusing me with other people around here, and that's okay. Maybe we sound alike. But I have not been a roller coaster this year.
Wait,
apologize. Go ahead.
When you say you abandon ship,
yeah,
you're saying you just throw the towel in. But the way you're talking it,
No, I'm sorry, bro. Like, I disagree with you. Mike's doing the one thing that annoys me. And that's
revising history?
Yeah, like putting fake thoughts in someone's mind.
You were always positive about the team, even after the 0-5 start. But now that it's, like, happening, now you're overly enthusiastic.
I'm relieved, would be the word. I'm very, very relieved. Because
it's just coming off as, like, an excess enthusiasm.
Yeah, I just...
I can see that. It's fandom.
It's not fair to take what you think I said, maybe someone else said it, or maybe you're just kind of projecting what you think Evan would say, and make it as if I thought that. Like, we came in here at 0-4, and I was saying, I'm not in Panic City yet. And this was literally a conversation. They'll get back to 500. So if it bothers you that I'm excited right now, okay, fine. Maybe you're annoyed that I'm too excited that the Mets beat the Braves 2 out of 3. Maybe you're consistent and say it's April. Who cares? I wasn't concerned when they were losing. I'm not that excited when you're winning. That's fine. But don't accuse me of being the way other Met fans have been, because I find that deeply offensive, because that's not what I've been. I own what I am. Am I a loser? Sure.
Yes.
Do I score a ton of Met games? Yes. Can I be too negative in terms of ever seeing my team win a championship? Absolutely.
I'm a loser.
But don't give me this fake, made-up BS of, oh, you're such a roller, you said this. I don't say any of that crap. Don't confuse me with other people. So Mike didn't apologize, but much like Sean should have apologized, I do think that Mike is welcome back on the program at any time to apologize for saying false stuff about what I think.
Take your sorries and stuff them in a sack, brother.
Oh, you don't like sorries now?
You know what? No more apologies. We move
Kiss
on.
My fat ass! Boy, so defiant. The hell did that come from?
I don't know. I'm putting my foot down now.
You get nervous that the Mets are getting the 500. That's what you're doing.
I'm not getting nervous. Maybe I'll emotionally hedge a couple Met wins coming up here.
By the way, I want to be fair. I emotionally hedged something kind of sickening about 25 minutes ago.
Oh, God.
The Mets were down. The Mets were up 12-3.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Why?
Because it was 500-1. Yeah.
For good reason.
I bet $10 to win $500.
Yeah. You knew that wasn't happening.
I'm glad it didn't happen, but I emotionally hedge sometimes. Yeah. Mm. You know what? Against the Braves, you never know, bro. You never know. At 7-0, I sat in my office, and what did I say to you, Tiki? I said, boy, this is setting up to be an all-time Met collapse.
You did. You said it like 10 minutes ago.
So I have to protect the emotions just in case. Let's go to Vito in Westchester. How you doing, Vito?
All right. Hey, I want to get on you, Evan. You know, Sean's your guy. He's like on your team.
Yeah.
And the caller clearly disrespects him. And then you ask the guy to apologize?
I mean, all he said was he had a high-pitched voice and compared it to Pee Wee Herman. And Sean responded by saying, I'm hooking up with your mom. It's like dropping a nuclear bomb after someone throws a water balloon at you.
You're leaving out the part where he likened him to the B word. I don't know if I can say it on the air.
Hold on. He was commenting on Sean calling Islander fans whiny bitches.
Because you called me and Ranger fans whiny bitches.
I never called you a whiny bitch.
That's the drop.
Lugauer?
By the way, you also called us all fat 2 months ago.
New York Ranger fan.
Well, okay, that's out of context. Here's where the bitch started. Pull up the caller of what he said to Boomer Esiason. Okay? That's what started the whiny bitch thing. All right? There was a wonderful caller. See, I love our callers unlike you. I don't disrespect them.
I love them, too. And I trust that if they throw a barb, they're allowed that barb thrown back.
So a caller...
I trust the audience.
A caller called up the morning show and said this to Boomer Esiason.
Just wanted to call Boomer a little bitch.
That's it. So that's who started it. That guy.
Boomer Esiason.
I didn't call anybody a bitch. I would never use that word. That's a mean, offensive word.
Do you think that was the same caller? Do you think that was Shane?
Maybe.
They called Boomer.
Evan, did you call Ranger fans fat this year?
Yes, I did do that.
Bitch, New York Ranger fan.
By the way, that drop that you're playing, that was on a podcast. That doesn't count.
And I love how you say it's out of context, like I manipulated it. This is you saying it.
Bitch, New York Ranger fan.
Yeah, but you didn't play the full context of why I said that.
But you still called Ranger fans bitches, and then you said they're fat.
I did it on Rico Bronya.
Doesn't matter where you did it.
I was talking about the Mets.
It's a Met podcast. Why are you bringing up the Rangers?
So I'm glad you asked. The full context was you don't want to be whiny like bitch New York Ranger fans. Sorry I said that. I'm just quoting myself in that regard. So I was just trying to explain to Met fans that we shouldn't sound like Ranger fans.
Bitch New York Ranger
I'm
fan.
I'm confused. You're conflating sports on podcasts.
Do you think the Texas Rangers and New York Rangers have dinner ever?
All right, thank you. Let's go to Ed in Malvern. What's up, Ed?
Hey, what's going on?
We're good.
It goes back to the giant
draft.
The games where you go to a game and for another sporting event.
Oh, yeah, you're at a game and crazy crap's happening elsewhere. We're talking about OJ.
1986, the Mets get rained out on Sunday night. The Giants are playing the Redskins on Monday night. Right?
Yeah.
Offered a ticket for $150 game 7 after going to the vet to watch him clinch the pennant, after being on the field watching him clinch the pennant, and they get rained out. My father's a Giants season ticket holder. He won't, he offered me the tickets to the Giant game. I can't renege on that. Mm. I missed game 7 of the World Series.
See, okay. Come on, here's the problem with this, and I'm glad this comparison is laid out. So if you missed it earlier in the show, you can always rewind on the Odyssey app. We were talking, obviously, about the death of O.J. Simpson and his complicated legacy. It's actually not that complicated. He was a murderer, but you get it. And his weird kind of connection to New York sports. The fact that the Rangers have their Stanley Cup parade, O.J.'s on the famous chase, the Knicks are playing game 5 of the NBA Finals, and then we later find out, I didn't even realize this, that the day he was acquitted was also the day that the Yankees played their first postseason game at Yankee Stadium in 14 years back in 1995. So there's this weird kind of OJ connection to New York sports. And we were talking about being at sporting events while other crazy things are happening. And Sean revealed he was at a Billy Joel concert while game 6 of the 2017 ALCS was going on. This example is a famous example. And to me, it's the most extreme example. The Mets are playing game 7 of the World Series.
And you have tickets.
You have, well, I don't know if you have tickets.
Well, that's what he said. He said he was offered tickets.
No, to the Giants-Washington Monday night game. So he was at Giant Stadium while Mets.
I heard that as, oh, I got it. So he didn't have tickets to the Mets game.
No.
Oh, I see.
He went to the Giants, their name at the time, Redskins game, which occurred while the Mets were playing Game 7 of the World Series. And there's a famous story I've heard from a lot of people of, oh, you could tell what was going on in the game because people were listening on their transistor radios and they were reacting. And I'm thinking to myself, if you are even a half a baseball fan, it's Game 7 of the World Series. Like, I love the Jets, and I'll go to a Jet game every year.
But
if the Jets are playing Monday Night Football and the Yankees are playing the World Series 7th game, I'm probably home making sure I'm watching
both.
But
maybe he's a bigger Giant fan.
He said he went to Philly to see the Mets try to clinch the division. He's a Met fan.
I know, but maybe he's a bigger Giant fan. I don't know. I'm just saying. Like, you have a choice to make.
The Giants were great that year. It's Game 7 of the World Series, man.
I mean, but they won the Super Bowl that year.
We didn't know that on a Monday night in October.
But you knew they were great.
Tiki, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
We got the football schedule coming out in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows? Maybe this Met team, who's red hot right now, they're on their way. You know what? Mets-Yankees World Series.
Okay.
Let's dream a dream.
Great. And I'll be in some city calling a game.
No, and that's your job. I respect. I'm not going to bring that up. But the Giants are playing a Monday night football game against the Philadelphia Eagles, and it's Saquon's return. Hmm. And it coincides with Yankees-Mets Game 7 of the World Series.
Hmm.
Are you going to the Giants game?
No.
Okay. No. Now, no one's saying you don't watch the Giants game. I'm not implying that. I'm saying, are you going? And back then in 1986, you didn't have the ability to do the things we have now. Like, you have the ability, like Sean could sell me, I wouldn't agree with it. I can go to the Giants game and I'll watch the World Series on my tablet. Again, I wouldn't buy it, but you could do it. In 1986, transistor radio my ass. Like, what? Seriously?
No, I'm with you. By the way, I realize there's another one I'm guilty of. 2009, the night the Yankees clinched the pennant, I was at Giants-Cardinals Sunday night.
What is going on here?
We got out in the eighth inning, and everybody listened to Sterling in the parking lot. We still, in 2009, didn't have the technology to watch from the parking lot. So I'm guilty. Never again.
Yeah, but you're guilty with the same team over and over again.
You know why? Gluttonous pig. Saw so many Yankee wins that I was able to write them off.
It wasn't big enough. The moment wasn't big enough.
Now, again, I would not have done that for the World Series as the ALCS.
That's what I mean. So
and
the moment,
if
the
they
moment,
lost, it was a game seven.
Right. The moment wasn't big enough.
So sometimes you make mistakes.
It wasn't
life,
important enough.
And you realize you make a mistake. So I'm going to just a mental note I'll say on the air of a mistake I made, and I want to acknowledge it. And I hope he's listening. I'm writing this down. Mistake. Acknowledging Sean Morash in my Mets Bible book and not acknowledging Chris McMonagle.
Mm.
Big mistake. Because if Chris McMonagle, Yankee fan, overnight host here at WFN, is listening.
Suck it!
You know he's like dying? Like you actually just killed him.
But is he a big Giant fan? He's not a Giant fan, right?
He is a Giants fan.
But is he as big a Giant fan as he is a Yankee fan?
No, I didn't say that he is,
But Sean is. And so you have to understand where Sean's coming from.
Okay.
Sean is literally named after a Giant, and his kids and his dogs are named after Giants.
I wrote a book called...
It's like real.
I wrote a book called My Mets Bible. Okay. I'm a pretty big Mets fan, right?
Of course.
Love the Mets. They are my first team. I admit that. They're number one.
Yes. But I think your love of scoring might be bigger than your love of the Mets.
Well, that's ridiculous. But I'll address that at a later date. In fact, you know where we'll address that? We'll address that tomorrow in Queens at another book signing I'm dragging Tiki to. So head on out to Queens. It's up on my Twitter profile if you want more information. I'll actually give you the information on air in a second, but we're talking about something else right now. The Nets are in the playoffs.
Okay.
Do you think I'm like not going to the game to score a Mets game? Do you think
that? It depends on what the Mets game is.
No, it doesn't, because I'll give you one specific. Mets-Yankees, back when it was the biggest deal ever, 2007, still a big deal. Friday night, Oliver Perez on the mound. Shea Stadium. Mets-Yankees. Me and my dad go to every Met-Yankee game. My friend Chad, he's in the text chat. Ask him. He sat with my dad that night.
Oh.
And you want to know why? Because I was at the Meadowlands watching Nets-Cavaliers.
Huh.
Like, it's just priorities. And I'm not claiming I love the Nets more than the Mets. Like, I love the Nets. I love the Jets. I love the Mets. They're like three beautiful babies. But sometimes you got to make decisions. You got to make life choices. It's like when our kids have two events going on. You got to choose the bigger event, and that's the event you go to. I got one coming up in a few weeks. My oldest son has a recital. My youngest son has a tea party with Mr. and Mrs. Met.
You're going to Mr. and Mrs. Met.
I got to go to the tea party with the youngest.
For Mrs. Met.
For Mrs. Met. Keep that thought to yourself. What are you talking about?
Any implants still?
Are her peaches?
Wow. Jeez, I think your priorities are all out of whack. Let's go to, and there's a lot going on today, by the way. Tiki laid out his quarterback plan on how the Giants should handle that. We hit that right at 3 o'clock, so you could rewind the Odyssey app if you missed any of that. Ryan in Jersey City loves Tiki's quarterback plan. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys. Great show, as always.
Thank you, Ryan.
I want to chime in here on the Tiki. I completely agree with you. I'll be pissed if the Giants draft J.J. McCarthy, to be quite frank with you. It kind of sounds like you're in that same boat. Yep. I'm not too sure.
I am.
There's no convincing film on him. He was on a run-first team,
and
he was a product of a great coach. Now, I understand Daniel Jones, he's got his injury flaws, but we act like he didn't win a playoff game. I mean, we like to pretend that didn't happen. So my question is, how many games are we giving Daniel Jones until we turn the page? Are we giving him 5? If we go 1-4, 1-5? Are we
good question.
Yeah, I don't think there's a game limit on or a game ceiling on Daniel Jones next year. Mainly because the long-term solution, unless you're going to re-argue Tommy DeVito, Sean, the long-term solution isn't on the roster.
It's not Drew Lock.
Because it's not Drew
Lock. It's not Drew Lock. So, no, I agree with you.
Drew's a good backup.
Yeah.
Like, when he came in for Geno Smith in Seattle last year, he was good. Won a game, right? He did what he needed to do. But you don't want – he makes a lot of rash decisions, some of them not very good. And so you don't want him leading, being your quarterback, theoretically, of the future. So he's there to be a backup. The future is not on the roster. So there isn't all right, Daniel, you're 1-4 and you played terrible – we're pulling you.
That's the difference between having the future on your roster, as you described, and not. If you don't, and the Giants are going into next year with Daniel as a starter, Drew Lock as the backup, and maybe Tommy DeVito as the third quarterback, I think the answer to our last caller's question is there is no number.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're likely not pulling him.
Right.
You know, I guess the only way you would is if you're winning games despite him, and he's playing. And I don't see that happening.
I don't either.
I don't think Daniel Jones is a bad quarterback that they're going to win despite. I think his biggest struggles will be if he's hurt or if everything's going wrong around
him. I think your instinct is right on that, because if he's healthy, he's going to be a part of winning. Right, they're not going to win because Daniel Jones is not playing well. If he's playing poorly, they're not winning.
I agree with you.
Period.
By the way, the event is the AstoriaBookshop.com. If you want to buy tickets, we'll be at the Court Square Theater tomorrow night, 7:30, for another My Mets Bible event. I like what we did last night. We interviewed each other.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him a question, and he asked me a question, and I asked him a question, and he asked me a question. Then we took your questions, and then we signed a bunch of books. So you go to AstoriaBookshop.com if you want to get a ticket. And come on and hang out with us. We'll be at the Astoria Bookshop, off-site, though, close by Court Square Theater, 4402 23rd Street in Long Island City, New York. That's my former stomping grounds, man.
Is it?
I used to live right there. I used to live in Long Island City for a bunch of years. In fact, outside of the place I grew up in on Long Island, I lived in Long Island City for a longer period of time than I lived anywhere in my life. I lived in Brooklyn for a short period of time, like a year or two. But I lived in Long Island City between 2005 and 2016. That's a good little run.
That is a long run.
That's an 11-year run. So check that out, AstoriaBookshop.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.